Hi guys, thank you so much for clicking on today's episode of Dark and Dire. As always, this is Julia, and I am very excited to be sitting here recording today's episode. I know I speak for many of us when I say I have been completely caught up in the whole Brian Laundrie, Gabby Petito story. All of my recent uploads have been regarding that case, but for right now, there was a major update in that story with the discovery of Brian's body, but until we have a little bit more evidence and conclusive proof of everything, I want to wait on posting my final update to that story. So for right now, I am here to bring you a completely different story, something I've been researching for about a month now, and it's honestly a case that I have heard a few people talk about in the true crime world, but it really doesn't get enough attention in my opinion. So I am doing my best to bring this story to whoever is listening, and I do thank you guys for, again, listening to this podcast and hopefully helping one of these cases. That is my whole goal, to kind of, again, be a voice for the voiceless. So for today, I am going to be telling you about the disappearance of Kyle Fleischman. All right, so a little bit of background information on Kyle. He was born on September 24th of 1983 to parents Barbara and Dick Fleischman. Kyle was the oldest child with two younger siblings, a sister and a brother. The family had moved to Charlotte, North Carolina in around 2000 after their father was transferred for his job at Fidelity Investments. Kyle graduated from high school and later graduated from Elon College in 2006 with a degree in business administration. On Thursday, November 9th, the now 24-year-old Kyle decided to take his mother, Barbara, sister, Noelle, and best friend, Dan, to a Dane Cook comedy show located right there in Charlotte, North Carolina. His mother, Barbara, had actually been going through a very difficult time. She was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and was actually only about a week away from her first surgery. So Kyle bought the comedy tickets as a way to kind of get her mind off everything that was going on. The show was a great success. It was said that they had an amazing time, and it came to an end around 10 p.m. Barbara and Noelle were both kind of ready to call it a night, so they decided to go home, but Kyle and Dan wanted to stay out for a little bit longer. The four said their goodbyes, with Kyle telling his mother that he would give her a call in the next day. Kyle and Dan continued their night, heading to the Buckhead Saloon. After being there for a few hours, Dan made the decision that it was actually time to go home. He had work the next day, and at this point it was almost 1 a.m. So he spoke to Kyle, and Kyle said that he actually wanted to stay at the Buckhead Saloon for a little bit more time. He had just met a group of people that he was having a good time with, and he was also talking to a girl. So he, again, wanted to spend a little bit more time with her. Dan said that although Kyle was intoxicated at this point, he wasn't to a point that he was worried about him at all. He was sure he would be able to get home on his own, totally okay. So we do have security footage from the bar, and it appears that about 1 hour later, Kyle gets into a small altercation with two to three of the men that he had been talking to. This is not anything crazy, nothing too physical, but definitely they are having an argument of some sort. Some speculate that Kyle may have actually been talking to one of their girlfriends, but that is absolutely not confirmed at this point. At around 2:20, he decided it was time to leave the Buckhead Saloon, but unfortunately, again, being a little bit under the influence of alcohol at this point, he leaves his card, his debit card, and his coat. Keep in mind, though, this story did take place in November, and temperatures at that time were below freezing, so knowing that Kyle left his coat is a little bit strange, but as many of us know, alcohol kind of does warm you up, so he may not have noticed that he forgot his coat, but that is something that is discussed regarding the story. So after leaving the Buckhead Saloon, he was captured on a security camera heading towards Fuel Pizza. He was said to order 2 slices of pizza with everything on it, something his dad said was his favorite type of pizza, and he actually paid with some cash he had on him, so it's kind of guessed at this point he did not realize that he had left his debit card at that bar. So the man working at the pizza place later came forward and stated that Kyle was pretty drunk at this point. So again, kind of fitting in with that. About 20 minutes later, at 2:42, Kyle starts making calls to family and friends. It's estimated that he makes about 8 calls in only a few minutes. He would call for about 10 seconds and then hang up. Given the time, again, almost 3 a.m., no one answers. He was said to call his dad's business phone, his sister Noelle, and his friend Dan, but leaves no voicemails for any of them. His last call is made at 3:38. Dan wakes up the next morning and sees that he has missed calls from Kyle, but he doesn't really worry too much until he gets up and sees that Kyle's car is still parked in his driveway. Dan immediately informs Kyle's family, saying something is wrong, he would have picked up his car by now, and after a little while, they report him missing. It seems like as soon as Kyle is not seen or not heard from a few hours later, they really are sure something is wrong. This is not like Kyle at all. So again, they report him missing and actually create a Facebook page called Find Kyle Fleischman. Hard to talk. It is 9 a.m. But the Facebook page is actually rumored to be the first missing person page created on the platform. And in no time, over 50,000 people are following his story. The city of Charlotte also comes together and begins an intensive search for Kyle. A few days into the investigation, police actually track down phone records connected to Kyle and discover that after getting pizza, Kyle continued to walk towards an area of Charlotte called North Davidson. This part of town is said to be extremely, extremely dangerous, very violent, and Kyle actually knew that this part of town was very bad and would have never willingly ventured over there. Phone records find Kyle entered a park known for drug and gang activity in that area. The park is only about 2 miles away from the Buckhead Saloon, meaning that he was walking for about 40 minutes in below freezing weather, again, without a coat. So cadaver dogs, of course, are part of the search, and they end up tracking down his scent to a loop, in a loop, around Fuel Pizza, leading some to believe that he was being followed and was trying to lose the person, again, possibly going around the pizza place more than one time. Later, they actually track his scent again to a construction site located about 200 yards away. The search party is immediately met with a, quote, smell of death, either a very strong scent of animal remains or, of course, a human. More canine units are brought in to see where in the construction site this smell is coming from. They try to track it down, but unfortunately, they have no luck. A homeless man in the area is later interviewed and states that he actually saw a group kill Kyle, but he wasn't sure what happened to the body. He believed, given the location, that it was a gang. So in 2009, a federal judge ordered a search of the construction site, which is located at 16th and North Davidson Street. The area was searched, and the judge actually sealed off the documents to the public, so really no information is known. We do not know if they found anything like that. So today, Kyle's family believes that their son was actually a victim of a random robbery gone wrong. They are still highly, highly active in this search and helping with police and private investigators, but unfortunately, we are years and years later, over a decade later, and we have no real proof of what happened to Kyle. So, of course, there are many theories. The biggest theory and the most popular theory is that he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, possibly a random robbery, and unfortunately, he was killed in the process. Others think that his death may have been connected to the men that he was seen arguing with at the bar. But for me, I really don't think this is anything major. I think this is just trying to look for clues, which obviously is important. But it really seems like they did interview the people that he had met up with. And it also is very common after a night out to kind of have a little altercation with someone. I don't think this is anything connected to his death. Others do feel that he possibly decided to kind of fake his death to start a new life, but this theory is really, really unlikely. He didn't have anything horrible happening. He didn't need to fully start over. It seemed like he was doing pretty well in his life. And also, given his mother's sickness and how close he was to his mom, it's very unlikely that, again, a week before her first surgery, when he is really needed, that he would just completely drop off the face of the earth on purpose. So this theory is very, very unlikely to me. Again, in my opinion, this unfortunately was a wrong place at the wrong time. So when Kyle unfortunately went missing, he was around 6 feet tall, weighing 180 pounds, again, a white male with brown hair and green eyes. He was last seen wearing a black t-shirt, jeans, and black dress shoes. Although he is considered missing, authorities unfortunately do not believe he is alive. Most people, again, feel that his body was buried or left in that construction site, and now there has been a very major apartment complex built over that construction site. So his family and many people believe that unfortunately Kyle's body is somewhere in that site and most likely will never be found. I to feel that is where Kyle is, and I don't even know where you go from there, because again, this is a major apartment complex, so knocking it down would be a very, very difficult thing to get the city to approve. But there is a very high possibility that Kyle's remains are buried somewhere in that or under that apartment building. So I, again, am very, I don't want to say excited, it's so tragic to be recording this, but I am happy to be back with new stories for you guys. I'm very happy to bring you this story and hopefully bring some much needed attention to it. When I was researching it, his friend Dan, who again had been at the bar with him all night, had said that it was very, very difficult to get people to talk about this case outside of Charlotte. Again, the whole city was searching for him, but unfortunately, most missing people that do kind of become headline news are not males, first of all. And I think that kind of does play into the whole thing we discussed recently with Gabby Petito and her story becoming such a major headline. With men, it's a little bit more difficult, and with different minorities, of course, it's even more difficult. But unfortunately, this case never received the attention that it needed. And I hope today that I'm able to bring you this story, and I hope that maybe you are going to do your own research. Just, I think any attention brought to any case is very, very important. This story is so, so tragic because, again, it doesn't seem like he was doing anything to cause his own death. Of course, he was a little intoxicated, but we have all been there. We've all made bad decisions, and it's very sad to think that his life probably came to an end on that night just after having a great time. Just a really sad story, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. So thank you guys for listening. Of course, if you have any information on the disappearance of Kyle Fleischman, please contact Crime Stoppers or the local police in Charlotte, North Carolina. I will be back soon with a new, again, update to the Gabby Petito story once we have all of those records. And then next week, I will be back with another full episode. But for right now, I want to say thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And thanks again.